watch his current.
Good morning, everyone. First, I have to apologize to those of you who put things in the box and snuck them in there on me when I didn't realize. There were a few more in there last night, although it turned out that we covered most of them because they were repeats. But somebody did ask a question about higher education, and I think that is a good one. We used to cover that a lot in CYC, in terms of like how much university or college education do you need to go to. And we always used to think it was a practical thing to realize that don't ever let higher education interfere with your life in the truth. So that if you're the kind of person that can go to higher education and you can still attend everything and be involved in your ecclesia, that may not affect you near as much as somebody else who goes to higher education and basically takes a time out from the truth. And so we encourage people to never go that route. Don't ever let higher education get in the way of your life and the truth. And that's something that then becomes a bit individual for the person. I can still remember when Aunt Sue and I were young, and the Australian speakers used to come over and tell us, don't ever go to university. Don't ever go to college. It's evil. It's wrong. They'd use Daniel and so on to do that. And I was so thankful I did go to college for 3 years, got my teaching degree, and was able to teach all of my life. And I found that a very useful thing to have because I couldn't have taught public school without having that university degree. It's just that's how our society was going at the time. So don't ever let your university degree interfere with your life and the truth. That's what you want to make sure. Don't move away somewhere where you're into isolation and those kind of things. So we're in Gethsemane now, and Judas's betrayal. That's where you're moving to. So as far as the timeline goes, where would you put this today? And this timeline now, I'm just focusing in on the one day, really. We're looking at the 14th of Abib right here, because really all the rest of the events this week all fit into this one day. We are now down to the last day of Christ's life, his mortal life, at least. So where would you put it? Where do you want to stick this? Now we have to think. I'm not going to just show you where I put it. See, what do you think? This is discussion group time. So where do you want to start it? You want to start back here?
No,
I don't think so. If we start over here? No. So where would you start it? Probably somewhere in the evening, right? They had their evening meal in the upper room, and now we've moved past the evening of meal. So you're probably later in the evening right here. Now would it go, are we past midnight? That's an interesting question about it. So what I ended up doing is I stuck it like right up in there somewhere. We're probably just before midnight to maybe just after or maybe not. Maybe the whole thing actually takes place. I think what it depends on is where you put the cock crow. So it's all about the rooster. So if you're looking at sequencing, I think our only hint is the rooster crow. And so if you go with the rooster crows being at midnight and at 3 o'clock in the morning and 6 in the morning, if you go with the 3-hour increments for rooster crows, then we'd have to stick it so that it actually occurred really before midnight. I couldn't get my guy to move over a little bit further there, but it would be just before midnight and probably until just before midnight. So you're somewhere up in this, I don't know, maybe between 10 o'clock and 11:30 kind of thing, you know, from our perspective. That's probably where we are today. This whole thing may all take place just in like an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours in the evening for our classes today. So that's where you're at. Now, where would we be in terms of the map? So we start out with the Last Supper down here. And where's Jesus going after the Last Supper? He's on his way out to Gethsemane, right? So people think that he probably walked through the gate right here, down through the valley in here, because your Kidron Valley runs right along Jerusalem right here. So this is actually, it's almost like coming down the hills over there. You've got up on the, and you're looking up at that hill right there. You're walking through the valley. That's what this would be like right in here in the Kidron Valley, where it goes up on either side. So he walks through the valley, up the other side, and comes up to the Garden of Gethsemane, and that's where you're at for your classes today. Really not a whole long walk right there. I don't think it's all that far. But and probably along the way right here, it's possible that he could have actually given the prayer of John 17 while he's walking. We really don't know at what point he did that. But because then you end up at John 18, and he's on his way up to Gethsemane. So it may be possible that he was praying while he was walking, and that teaches you something about prayer as well. So things to look for today when you start looking at what can we discuss. I think it's valid to at least look at what went wrong with the religious leaders. They knew their Bibles so well. They could quote you Bible passages left and right. But they made these huge mistakes right now. They were so concerned about their positions and about their power and what they had. And they didn't want Jesus interfering with that. And why did they need Judas? I think that's a good one to ask. I think they attempted to answer that in the workbook. But you can look at that today as a question as to why did they even care about Judas? Why did that matter, that Judas would betray Jesus unto them? I think it's interesting to contrast Jesus' treatment of Judas with the way he ripped the religious leaders in this last day when he went after them, told parables about them. And he was doing all these things to put the position of the religious leaders very clear to his people. And they knew he was talking about them. And then he gave all the woes that were very clear. There's no hiding behind all those woes. So he treated Judas in a different way. And I think that's a real indication to ourselves about how we treat each other in ecclesial life. And Jesus knew the terrible things that he was going to have to endure. And what do you think? How would that affect him or you? I think they had that whole section in your workbook about how Christ knew what was coming. He knew the thoughts of people. He knew what was in front of him. And if you knew what tomorrow was going to be like, and you were going to go through this kind of a day, you know, how would that affect your life? I think sometimes we're probably glad we don't know what's coming on us. And he could have called for 12 legions of angels. He could have, to rescue him. But how would that have affected God's plan? And I think that's valid to at least look at that in terms of, you know, can God adapt his plan? Would this have worked? I think you have to realize, in his mind, he could have done that. He could have done that. But what would that have done to the plan? I think when you get into the Garden of Gethsemane, it's certainly worth discussing, at least for a few moments, the power of prayer and look at what Jesus was asking in his prayers. I find that really encouraging when you see specifically that he asked, is there any other way? And I think that teaches us a little bit about not being so locked into thinking that God has everything all predetermined and that there's only one pathway God can go down. Jesus wouldn't have asked for another pathway if he didn't realize that God can adapt and change pathways sometimes. But in this case, there was no other pathway. And I think that's fun to consider in terms of prayer as to why we pray. And it teaches us about the power of prayer, that when people pray, you can alter pathways that God was going to go down. And there's a lot of proof for that back in the prophets. So how do you assist those going through trials? That's a little bit like what we were talking about last night. How do you become a helpful assistant to people that are going through troubles? You know, what are some of the effective ways that you can help people? In our community, in the Christadelphian community, I've talked to brethren and sisters who have had severe trials, who lost a child, for example, and a child who's very young dies. And one of the common things they tell us is that our community is not very good at helping them through trials. It's something that just we have a weakness. We tend to like treat it superficially, you know, just think like read the Psalms and you're going to be okay. And this is a common thing that folks tell one another. And I think it would be very useful to discuss what are effective ways of helping people that are going through severe trials. First of all, you need to know them very well, because I don't think you can know how to help a person individually unless you know them. And there are different pathways you can take about assistance. I don't think there's one exact effective way for everybody. You sort of need to know the people. I've known husbands and wives in the same family going through those kind of trials, and it took one way of handling the husband and a different way of handling a wife, because they're different people. And what we don't want to do is just send them cards which they just look at and throw away because that wasn't helpful at all. We need to find effective ways. And in this case, you can see that the disciples, they weren't very much help at all. So watch God's way of helping Jesus. What did God do to assist his son? He can't stop the procedure. This is what God needs, a declaration of his righteousness. But he is willing to help Jesus through all of this. And Jesus is talking to him all the way through. And so he does what he can to help his son as we're going through this. I think it's also fun to watch the prophecies as they did in the workbook, looking back at Zechariah, and you might find some of the other prophecies. But it'd be interesting to see if anybody could have sequenced them all correctly ahead of time. If you were reading those prophecies before they happened, would you have been able to figure out the order of the events? It's interesting that God sneaks them into those prophecies in such a way that it would be hard to figure that out. I think you can do a great comparison and contrast of Peter and Judas. this denial versus betrayal. And I don't know, in the workbook, they seem to indicate like they both were doing the same things for a while there, but they called them both betrayals. And I don't know if that's really a valid, I don't know what you guys thought about that, but I didn't really know if that was a valid observation to make. I wouldn't have thought that Peter was just a betrayal. I wouldn't have put that in the same category at all of Judas. I would look at more like a denial versus a betrayal. And so you might discuss that as part of the classes this morning. And what helped Jesus get through Gethsemane? You know, how did he actually do it? How did he get through this terrible day of his life, facing what he knew was coming? And he goes into the garden, and wow, he really wins the war in the Garden of Gethsemane. What indications are there? I think this is a good first principle to keep in mind. We're talking to our friends who believe that Jesus was part of a Trinity, a triune God. This is a great place to go to show that his will was different than his Father's will. And if you're looking for first principle things out of the studies this week, that's a great one, because he's battling this idea of trying to conform his will to his Father's. And of course, watch the battle, because that is the great battle going on right here. The will of Jesus Christ versus the will of God, and the goal is to conform our will to God's so his will be done. And that's what you're looking at. So with that, I will lead you to discussion time. Everybody's ready to roll. I know you can't wait to get to it. Great discussions yesterday, though. Everybody did a great job. Just keep it up. Hopefully you'll have lots of fun.